When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
I'm Frank Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letitia.
Dean Hammond here.
And you're listening to In That Number.
With me, Kevin, the Moscow Mush Milverton. Find me on Twitter at Moscow Mush.
And me, Ray Hunt. You can find me on at RayHunt84.
Follow the show on at Number Podcast on Twitter.
And on Facebook, Instagram, and Telegram on In That Number Podcast.
Email us with your thoughts and feelings on InThatNumberPodcast@gmail.com.
And if you like what you hear, consider showing your support by visiting buymeacoffee.com/InThatNumber.
Let's march on in.
Welcome back to another episode of In That Number, part of the Sports Social Network. This is episode 218. Today, we look back at our game at Vicarage Road from Saturday. Not the result we wanted, but in all honesty, we were lucky to get away with a point, really. We're losing ground on the leaders once more, but we extended that unbeaten run to 12 now as we drew 1-1 with Watford. We also have another busy week to prepare for, the midweek game at Coventry City, and then the homecoming against Blackburn Rovers on Saturday. Once again, we're without Moscow Mush as he's on his holidays. But we have Tim and I once more. So welcome back, Tim. And how are things for you?
Not too bad. I wouldn't call it Vicarage Road. More like Bickerage Road, because that's what we're going to be bickering all out all day. From a last second goal. That's for us to score, not for them.
Yeah, I just thinking, like, as soon as it happened, I was gutted, but I thought, you know what, we probably deserved that, deserved to let a goal in, because we've done that to a number of teams this season, you know, Millwall, Preston, QPR, it's just been, yeah, but we've let one in, it's kind of like, and plus we probably didn't deserve it, did we?
I know what it means by deserving it, but it still hurts, it's still a kick in the nuts.
It certainly is, 96th minute, yeah, very disappointing. But like I said, I think we got what we deserved. If you want to join our Discord, please get in touch. Chatting amongst fellow friendly and passionate Saints fans. You can join in with all our predictions, game chats, various fantasy football leagues and other games. If you're interested, then you only need to contact us through our various means of communication. That's email, there's Twitter, there's Instagram, Facebook, and we'll get you in. But there's also a link tree on our Instagram, I believe, and Twitter. So go on there and you can find out all the information that you need. Right, Tim, ITN News.
This is ITN In That Number News.
Okay, one thing that caught us off guard on Saturday was the absence of Flynn Downs. He looked to be okay in the week. I saw lots of training pics and videos, and you know, looked like he was having fun, looked fine, all normal, and then on the day Martin said there was an illness. By all accounts, he felt unwell on Thursday. He came in Friday, but was sent home. But he is expected to be back for Coventry. But we certainly missed him, or so it seemed, didn't it, Tim?
Yeah, absolutely. And if you remember him signing earlier in the season, his signing was delayed because he ate raw chicken liver. Okay, so we have to basically tell him, and we have to get a cook for him now. Okay, he has to have his own personal chef, and he can't eat anything that would be potentially get him sick. Because if he's shaky and eating raw chicken liver, he's probably sick again from eating some dumb shit. So let's fix this.
Well,
come
I don't
on.
Know. I mean, is it food poisoning or is it just a flu this time of year?
I guess because that was ridiculous. Yeah. Well, I guess it saved us a week's on wages, which it's probably not too bad.
sick pay. Yeah. We got an update on Dom Ballard. You've probably heard, but he has undergone his surgery in the week. All things went well. So now he begins his long recovery, which will see him. We'll see him back in around a year, 10 to 12 months. So, this is where the rehab starts for him. So best of luck, Dom. Get well. I know you're going to do it right. You've got a lot of lot of good people around you. So hopefully we get him back and he's fitter than ever.
It's going to be a long road of recovery for him. So 10 to 12 months is probably when he's back to true full fitness, but that doesn't mean he's going to be up and running and in a groove until probably the following year.
Yeah, it's really, really bad time for him. But then again, it's never a good time, is it, to have that injury? But that's it. Change of game time, rather. Our game at Swansea on the 20th of January has been moved for TV reasons from 3 p.m. to 12:30. Sky picking that up for the narrative of Martin's return to Swansea, no doubt. But it could be very interesting, that one. Oh, also Ryan Manning. 18-year-old Will Armitage has signed an extension on his contract to keep him here until 2026. A little bit of non-news, really. It's been and gone, but I thought we'd mention it anyway. Russell Martin and Adam Armstrong, they were nominated for Manager and Player of the Month for November. Daniel Farke and Sammy Smodic picked them up, though, but probably rightly so. I mean, I guess Russell Martin was in with a shout after an unbeaten month and all that, but Leeds have picked up well. And Sammy Smodic, I mean, there's no doubt that he's the man of the moment, which I'm sure, Tim, you'll allude to in the Blackburn preview. There is some transfer news, Tim. This time of year, obviously, the window is just about to reopen. And, you've had half the season to look at your side, see what's working, what's not. And you can bring some more players in, maybe get rid of some people. And there's a lot of news this week about Sekou Mara. Reports that he's been unhappy with his involvement. And he favours a loan away for a while. Lille and Marseille are said to be interested, as well as a number of clubs in Germany. I mean, what do we think about Mara, Tim? Because he started two games this year. He's yet to get off the mark. But Russell Martin is really, really happy with him. He said he's not had this conversation with him, but insists he is happy here. And everyone seems happy with him. So what do you think of this situation? Is this just nonsense, or is this something that could make sense for both?
It makes sense because, one, he's a player who's not getting in the team. He previously
minutes. He's not starting, but he is coming on.
Yeah, but so coming from Bordeaux, he's French. It makes sense that the agent's going to want to plug this because they're mentioning Marseille and Lille, who are teams that are probably a little bit better than his level. Now, if they wanted to go and sign for like Montpellier or Lorient or whatever, that would make a little bit more sense. But I think they're throwing big names out there to push and generate news and buzz. And the agent itself is doing this. So I believe Russell Martin in the case that I think this is a showmanship from the agent perspective and not from Sekou.
It seems weird that we've had him for this amount of time and we still really don't know about him. He hasn't really hit the ground running. He hasn't had a long stretch of time in the squad. But whenever he has had his chances, he's not really taken them, has he? But I don't know. I mean, is it something that we have to just keep and be patient with? Or do you think, we should just let him go on loan and let him play some first-team football? Is he going to be important to us in the second half of this season?
If we are expecting or not expecting Ross Stewart to come back, then he's going to probably still have the same role. And say Adam Armstrong, God forbid, or Shea Adams, also God forbid, get injured, you know, who's the next man up? It is Mara, and he's going to get his chance. So it's a little scary, but I think for depth purposes, we need control. We need to work with him, and then the off season is probably something where I can see him leading.
Yeah, I think it just depends what goes on in this festive period, doesn't it, with injuries and how the results are going, and his involvement really, and see what lies ahead. It's a little difficult to tell with so many games left to play before that window even opens. But yeah, personally, I'd like to keep hold of him. I just think for depth reasons, and he is a player that we can have that can come off the bench, although. Against Watford, I wasn't too happy to see him come on, but you know, we'll talk about that in a bit. But I'd still like to keep him around if possible, because I still really don't know what he offers. Under 21s, they played Everton on Monday the 4th in the Premier League 2, and they got battered 5-0. So things are getting pretty bad for the under 21s. And they next play Derby away on the 15th, Friday the 15th of December. The women. They've been on their internationals, of course, and I will say just one thing. England under 23s drew 1-1 with Spain, and Ella Morris scored for England, so that was fantastic. And today, of course, we're preparing as we speak for the big South Coast derby in the FA Cup third round. That's a 2 p.m. kickoff, and that's at Wesley Park, so need to do this one. I'm going to have all eyes on that, of course. Under 21s, they played the FA Youth Cup on Friday night, and they got knocked out by West Ham. They drew 1-1, ultimately lost 4-2 on penalties. But you know, West Ham won that competition last season, so it was a very good effort on the road. And Jay Robinson actually gave us the lead before we were pegged back. So yeah, out of that competition. Next match, they play Chelsea away on Tuesday, the 19th of December. We go on to Watford. Going in on a high, 11 undefeated and kept clean sheets on our last two. Adam Armstrong, of course, in top form with 12 goals. Only three of those on the road, though. On our travels to Vicarage Road, it's not been too bad. Unbeaten in the last eight, 1-4 and drawn 4. And that run obviously extends now. Watford, of course, were going in great form as well. And they were looking to make it 3 wins in a row for the first time in over a year. But yes, Saints made it to 12 undefeated with that 1-1 draw. The last gasp equaliser from Reece Healy 6 minutes into the allotted 8 minutes of injury time. A frustrating end. But in truth, Tim, it was just a frustrating afternoon, wasn't it?
It wasn't pretty. And no. When we look at the game itself and compared to a lot of them, if we came out and had a squeaker and we won 1-0, we would be like, wow, that game was kind of a stinker, but I'm glad we won. And now we were talking about it and saying, well, 1-1 seems like the right fit, but that's not what we need. You know, if you're in a promotion push, you need to be able to beat the teams around you, squeak things out, even if you may not be playing well, like the West Brom game, where I feel like a draw was probably the best result or the appropriate result where we still won. So to me, it stinks, and I think Wesley Hoot was a problem. He did play pretty well in my opinion, but it was just a stinker.
Yeah, very disappointing. The whole performance really. Second half picked up a little bit, but just not enough. So we didn't have enough all day really. But going into it is starting 11. I mean, I expected to go unchanged from that comfortable Cardiff win. But then, of course, we had Flynn Iesta out with that illness. Joe Rebo steps up. That's the first start for him since that loss to Ipswich in September. No more changes, though. Ryan Manning holds on to his place after a good game against Cardiff, and Shea Charles also. I was wondering if he'd put Smallbone back in to fit, if he was fit enough. But once again, Tim, we can't really grumble about the team selection.
No, it makes sense. And Aribo coming in wasn't something I expected. I expected Smallbone, but I understood why. I think we saw from last week's game that, Aribo can play. And there was a really good move there down on the right side where Aribo was just able to hold and maintain possession. Big bodied, really was in control, and eventually went out for a corner. But a great play, and I could see where his talent comes from as we signed him from Rangers, you know, where he was in the Europa League final playing.
Yeah, I looked at the team sheet and thought with him, and I thought it does seem quite attacking. We weren't sitting back on it, you know, without Flynn Downs, with no Smallbone. you bring in Rebo as a replacement. I thought, okay, well, we're going for it here. We're just going to go out from the off. But never really happened. And I've kind of put a Rebo in that scale where he's used as a player to shore things up a little bit. Because, as you said, he is a big body. Bring him off the bench if we've got a 1 or 2 nil lead. And then just to see out the game. But starting with him, I don't know. I don't think it's ever really worked for a Rebo. But that's not to say he wasn't good yesterday, because I thought he was. I thought he was okay. Nothing spectacular, nothing terrible. Pretty much like the team. But yeah, it's just the whole first half, it was just difficult. Limited on those chances, and Watford had the better of them. Just one shot in the opening 45, and that was off target. And it just seemed like a game where we weren't gonna have enough.
Yeah, and overall, I do think our midfield was poor. I think that there's something missing, and Flynn Downs was the cog in the wheel, where Charles could be good defensively, but may not be the best progression going forward. Stu didn't really have a strong or make a significant impact.
No, he kept giving the ball away, didn't he, Stu? It was a weak game for him.
Yeah, and Aribo is not a game changer to me. He's somebody, like you said, to solidify and really keep things as it is, because I don't see him, you know, in that game. Yeah, like an Alcaraz or somebody comes in with a little bit of flair that can change it all. With Stu, with Shea, with Aribo and Alcaraz, I mean, I thought the midfield was really poor. And I think that's our weakest link right now. And just something curious to consider, to think about.
Trying to get that balance right, isn't it? When you lose someone like Flynn Downs, it's like, do you want to defend more in the middle? Would you want to go for it? And we were neither there. Well, we had nothing really, did we? And just weren't probing enough. And once again, you know, we led on the possession stats, but having nothing to show for it. And it's frustrating, because we have the players in this division to really do some damage. And I just don't think we show it enough. I mean, if you take a look at Leicester, I mean, they have the ability to dominate teams and are doing so. I mean, Leeds and Ipswich are doing it too. They make it comfortable for themselves, but we rarely do this. And in some ways, we're our own worst enemies. Well, most of the time, it seems that way. And I really thought Saturday would be the day where we see Ipswich. You know, their wheels will fall off at Borough. But no, they keep winning. They don't dominate possession or passes, but they get the job done every week with an inferior squad. Well, supposedly inferior squad. And it's, but with Saints, it's like they think their job is done at 1-0. And I don't think this is Martin's approach. Maybe it is. Maybe it's just like, let's just be difficult to score against rather than, you know, have the hunger to go for another. But, you know, we see it with Leicester. They score. They score again. They score again. They just keep going. But we don't seem to be able to do that. Is this the player's mentality, or is this Martin?
It's a very methodical approach from Russell Martin. And I think, you know, reading in the offseason, what to expect from Swansea fans were that he's going to frustrate you at times because the ball is slow. It really does feel like we're playing a slower game than every other team around us. There's more franticness, and sometimes, you know, they may look completely out of place. But for us, we want to maintain and hold and be in control, which is the slow and small buildup and recycling play in the tiki-taka style that you'd see from Spain in the 2000s and 2010s. With, if they don't like it, they don't see it, they're going to recycle and try again and try and break the, you know, try to break them down. So for us, there's nothing, you know, there's no over the topness. There's no significant player that's just amazing that can be able to do that. And for us, the ball is told to stay in our possession, because if it's in our possession, then it's not in their possession. And whether we think that or not, it's not the prettiest game around. It's kind of just boring and it lacks excitement. So it's his style, and I like it, but I don't like it at the same time.
I know exactly what you mean, but let me put this to you, right? So let's just say, for argument's sake, that Maresca's in charge of this Saints side right now. Do you think he would be doing better with this Saints team than he would be with the Leicester team?
I'd say slightly better.
I do too. I think, as hard as it is to believe, I mean, I don't have the Leicester stats in front of me right now, but they score a lot of goals. And they did on Saturday. it's difficult to believe that if he was in charge of this Saints side, we'd score more than Leicester have. But I think overall the play would be better, and I think we'd have more points as well. Leicester have lost three games this season, I believe. There's a chance that we, you know, with Maresca, or dare I say Daniel Fark, or somebody that's has the ability to get the best out of the players, would be doing better than Russell Martin is. I'm not trying to have a dig at Russell Martin because he's getting the job done. We're not losing games. But my point is that it's just, I feel we could and should be doing better with this unit of players in this division. Is that too harsh?
We've capped our ceiling with him, where the ceiling is higher for, say, Marseca or, you said, Daniel Fark. The biggest thing about Leicester right now is they've only had 12 goals scored against them. Yeah. That's ridiculous. Because
that,
if you look
that would improve, wouldn't it? That would definitely. If he was in charge of Saints, that would we wouldn't concede as many goals.
Yeah, and Ipswich has given up 25. Leeds have only given up 20. So, you know, for us giving up 28, and, you know, we, let's just say, well, the Sunderland 5-0, that really obviously threw us into, you know, threw an issue into a cog in the wheel.
That was one off. Yeah.
It's still at 32 goals. When we're looking at teams around us, we're not better than any of the teams, say, from 5 to 13 right now in the table.
Right in that low
30s range.
There's nothing that stands out there, is there? There's nothing that makes us any different to those teams. We're just getting the results at the moment.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yeah, and I think Russell is giving us the opportunity, and the possession play is where the standard level of, you know, it could be even in the low, you know, low to mid 30s, but because of the quality of players we have, it pushes us into the higher 30s, and maybe then if you get the even the better players on top of it, you'd be in the lower 40s. But I think there's small, but also then significant limits to what we can do. And it's based on the quality of the players, the teams we're playing against. And, well, that's just pretty much soccer at that point.
But we did have to defend well on Saturday. And that was probably a plus, because we did do well. We did do a good job. We held them out. I mean, Harwood, Bellis and Bednarik, they did their jobs well. Like a brick wall at times. I mean, a number of occasions, Watford was swinging the ball into the box, only to be turned away by Bednarik. And Bazunu, I mean, he was very good with... He had a number of good saves. I mean, that one on Asprilla was just brilliant. I mean, a fully stretched dive down to his right. Fantastic. So we did have to defend well at times. And that was good to see us, you know, winning that battle.
Absolutely. So this is our seventh game where we let in zero or one goals. Wow. So seventh game in a row, even looking at that. So we had to go back to the Preston 2-2. So if there's one thing that we can say in this, you know, this 10 plus game stretch of being undefeated, is we've solidified the back. To me, that is a great, you know, if you're going to play that slow, methodical game, you need to be able to build out and be in control and be comfortable, you know, playing and not let in those goals. And that is what is being able to keep us in. And we'll, I mean, that's what you want. Now we're missing that extra flair. We're missing that extra attack. We're missing that extra potential from some of our players. I want Alcaraz to step up. Adams has this chance now that, you know, Ross Stewart is obviously not going to be in for a while. I want him to be able to step up. You know, Sulemana's out. So, you know, are we going to have more time for Adozie and Fraser, especially?
Yeah, that's one thing that's not talked enough about, really, is our defensive improvements. I mean, you take a look at the end of last season, defence was our problem. We were letting in too many goals. I know it was the Premier League, but it was a problem. And then when you lose the likes of Bella Kotchap, Salisu, you go down a division, I get that. But at the start of the season, I still would have said our weak point is that defensive line. But you said recently, or just at the start of the show, that our midfield is probably the weakest at the moment. But it just goes to show that Russell Martin has got a grip on this defence at the moment. And Harwood Bellis has been massive for us lately. I mean, we've even saw Mason Holgate come in and have a good game on his last appearance. So things have definitely improved. And I wasn't aware that, yeah, it was the multi-goal seven in a row, you say, that we haven't conceded more than one goal, which is that's fantastic for us. It's really good. We just need to sort it out at the other end of the pitch and put more in, especially when we have that lead.
From the top down, looking in and say, if you're going to go on a seven-game run where you're only going to let in zero or one goal, are you going to take that?
Absolutely.
100%. 100% of the time you say, yes, that's exactly what I want. Because for us going through so long, I want to let's give Russell Martin props for the defense itself. I think the missing element is the midfield. And while I think Downs is pretty good, and I think Stu is pretty good, and I think Smallbone is pretty good, and I think Charles is pretty good is not going to get us promoted. Pretty good is going to keep us in the playoff position. So if there's anything that I feel like we should jump ahead and look at into the transfer window, it should be a midfield boost.
When you say a boost, do you mean defensively, or do you think someone that can do it all, or someone that's box to box, or someone that's more attacking?
Yeah, I'm looking at an eight who's a box to box who's going to come in and replace. I mean, right now it's been a Charles Smallbone rotation. I want somebody who can be box to box. So we'll play with those names later on and figure out what we can do. But for now, I think that's our weak point.
We
need to be better.
We sure do, yeah. And towards the end of that first half, it was all Watford. I mean, the last 10 minutes of it or so were them. And I looked at the halftime stats and it did kind of blow me away a little bit, because I was amazed to see that we had 63% in that opening half, it blew my mind, because I don't remember ever progressing very far with it. As I say, we only had one shot. And actually, my son, who knows nothing about football, he doesn't like it at all. He decided to watch the second half with me, and he commented that Watford are playing the good balls, and we just keep turning around and passing it backwards. And I was just like, it hasn't taken you long to realise that, has it? And it's just... yeah, that is pretty much the sums up that first half, doesn't it?
It was lackluster, it wasn't exciting, and there just wasn't a whole lot going on. So
no, and I am trying to take the positives here because of all the negative talk, but we didn't lose the game. And if we can nick a point away to a good side in form who outplayed us at times, then we're doing something right.
Absolutely.
I want to talk about Alcaraz. Not the best. Didn't have a very good game. Sky had his role in the formation to centre Adams and Armstrong, but he kind of like dipped in and out, really, and wasteful on the ball, dare I say. He was yanked off at the break for Ryan Fraser. But yeah, just not a typical Alcaraz performance.
He hasn't been able to get into the game and get into a rhythm. And if you see the stats out there, though, when he starts, he's never lost. When he started a game, we've never lost a game with him. So knocking on with that comment. But what does that, what does that mean? Is he the benefit? There's at some point in time in some of those games, he wasn't a big draw. And to me, I don't think he's been a big draw when it comes to, So what does he mean by big draw? He's not drawing players out. He's not dragging players with him. I don't think he's making a big enough difference. And in that false nine role where you've got Che and you've got Adam Armstrong. Yeah. They're the ones who are getting the attention. The center back, the biggest center back, is obviously going to go for Che, and Adam Armstrong is going to try and run off and sprint all the way down and try to beat everybody, whether it be the other center back or the fullbacks. And Alcaraz there is, trying to move around, maneuver, but he's not doing good enough at that point.
Where's his best position?
Right now is the bench.
No, I do like him behind the front two. Just giving him a little bit more freedom to do what he wants, but he seems to be too advanced or too deep, and I don't really know what the best role is for him at the moment. You think the bench? Wow, that's some.
No, I mean, he hasn't for expectations of what we need, and obviously now for pure luck, he needs to be able to start, but he wasn't big enough in possession, because if he's sitting as that midfield role, you know, your midfielders are going to, in, if you take a look at their heat map and also the number, the percentage of possession that we normally play, let's say we're at about 60% possession, 65% possession on average for the normal game. A midfielder is going to roll somewhere between, you know, 3.5 to 6%. If you're 6%, it's going to be more towards like defender, like Shay Charles should be up in close to six. He's sitting at most recently, these past three games have been below 2%. And so what that means is he's not getting on the ball. He's not getting in position to get the ball. He's not tracking back enough. He's not, there's something, some way, somehow that he's not being involved. And that needs to change. Whether that be
is
position
that,
change
is that
or
he
needs,
doesn't know where he himself doesn't know what he's doing, where he's meant to be playing. Is this Martin misusing him?
I think he, with an Adam Armstrong and a Che Adams, two, you know, four, basically a 4-4-2 up top. He's like the attacking midfielder that sits behind him. He is not making enough of a difference. So when we saw with that false nine role with Sulemana up on the top left, Adam Armstrong in the top right, him sitting back, he was able to draw more. And so you saw more in the threes and the 4% possession on the ball, which made a huge difference. So when you know, as a flair player who needs opportunity to be able to get the ball, just like Sulemana is, you know, does he have a defensive qualities? You know, is he good enough there? Is he, what else can he do to be able to make and go through? Adam Armstrong obviously could score a bunch of goals, but if he didn't track back a lot, what are you going to look for that? Adams is going to throw the elbows into Wesley Hood and cause some trouble and break some stuff, you know, while he's down there in the opponent's 18 and 6 yard box.
Alcaraz can cause trouble.
he's going to try and run around him. What is the difference making potential that he has? And as a flair player, you know, you need to be able to have that flair, and he hasn't had that flair. His flair has been put out.
Yes, I just need him on the ball more and to be able to make that difference. But yeah, whatever reason, it didn't work on Saturday, which is why, you know, Fraser come on for him at the half. Didn't take too long into the second half for the goal to come. Che Adams, 56 minutes, and it came from a Stuart Armstrong run. And he feeds the ball to Fraser. He puts the cross into Adam Armstrong, nods it back to Shea, and he coolly finishes it off. Nice composure, good finish, striker's finish. He needed that desperately. And that's only his fourth goal of the season and his first since August at Plymouth.
It was just a good play all around. We've seen that where the ball has basically gone over the top and then the defenders get drawn. So being able to make that work, and then Che doing the big body thing, he was able to maintain composure and control. And then once he was able to do that, boom, he hit it right down, right down the middle of the goal. He gave him a little bit of benefit where he just like completely, dove the wrong direction, which was also a kind of funny scene. But overall, that was just a great team play, and was super happy with how that, that goal came about.
Fantastic. Yeah, but couldn't hold on again. Russell Martin made three more subs eventually, and not good ones. I understand them. Small bone for a rebound, I get it. A little bit more defensive, okay, fine. Stu off for Bree. Mara for Shea. I said at the top, don't quite understand that. You know, we had Stevens and Holgate on the bench. Why didn't he use that option? I mean, it was clear that we weren't going to score. Not interested in getting another goal. It was clear that we were hanging on. Watford were attacking the whole time. We need to protect it. Why go half-hearted with Smallbone and Bree? Why not bring on a Jack Stevens or a Mason Holgate to shore up that defence? This is the things that Russell Martin keeps getting criticised for. I know it's easy to criticise when we don't get the result that we want, and that's the first thing that happens, you know, blame the manager, got the tactics wrong. But to me, it was a no-brainer. If you're winning 1-0 away from home against a good Watford side, they're giving it everything. You bring on your defenders and you protect this lead. Didn't do that.
It was interesting because when he brings on Bree, And it's not like a like-for-like replacing that he did for Manning before. That's the first time that he's done that all season, where we have three fullbacks on the pitch then for the last 10 minutes of the game.
And we've got two centre-backs on the bench that you didn't bring on.
So in theory, right now you're playing five at the back, or are you allowing Walker Peters to go forward? You know, the heat map does not actually show where they truly were. And Bree didn't make any big of a difference. In fact, he probably made a negative difference at that point, because when you're in it, and this was a new, it didn't work. So you tried something and it definitely did not work. That when you have three, like, was he playing that left-sided center back? Was he playing that right-sided center back? You know, we saw that with like five at the back, where Nathan Jones was kind of experimenting with it. And Bree was brought in and had a couple starts in the second half last year. I didn't like it. So if you wanted to bring in, let's just say, Bree for Manning or Tolgate for Manning, where you then are literally saying your three center backs, you are not going forward, you're not pushing forward at all, that's what you're doing. That would have made more sense.
I just think you take Shea off and you put on Stevens, not Mara, and waste
it. Yeah.
If you're going to take Adams off, or maybe you want to take Adam Armstrong off because he needs the rep. I mean, we've got Wednesday. We've got a game on Wednesday to play. But you need to make all your subs. And why not bring on the defenders that can make a difference? And, you know, Stevens is chomping at the bit to get back on. But not used. I just think it was a bit of a howler from Russell Martin. And speaking of howlers, Reece Healy, 96th minute. It was coming. There was always that danger. We could see it. Again, made it ourselves. Bazunu at fault again. It was such a shame because he was playing so well. And he's been playing so well lately as well. The last few games, he's been great. He's been making the right decisions, making some great saves, keeping the goals out, importantly. And in this game, too, he did look good. And that difficult save from Asprilla was brilliant. But I said this last week that he seems to be saving those difficult ones and then letting in the ones that I could save, really. And I just want to mention that what New Jersey Scott said on our Discord, because I thought he hit the nail on the head with it. So I'll quote him directly. He said, "You see him make the great saves and you think you've really got something. But at high levels, that's just what a keeper does. The really good ones stop the easy ones all of the time." Spot on, I think. Yeah, thanks for that, Scott. But yeah, I think he's right. I just think this is Bazunu in a nutshell.
I think that New Jersey Scott hit it right on the head. And to me, the thing is that you expect a player, you want a player with a high ceiling, and Bazunu has a high ceiling. His stretch range, his reach range, for the shot that was in the earlier where he had to dive
off. Yeah, the Asprilla one, yeah.
He dove almost well over a half of that within like a second and a half.
And he looked like a proper keeper, didn't he? It was excellent. Just looked like a great save. One for the highlight reel.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of, it wasn't even like a pure acrobatic, because you have to get so low and then get the range out that it's unbelievable. I mean, it's one of the best that I've seen. It reminds me of he reminds me of Pickford a lot, where he has the same stature, very stocky. He's not the tallest guy around. And, you know, they're about 6'2" and really can, you know, and I think you should be looking at Pickford as his potential range, but pretty damn close to it. So when he's able to do that and make the difference like he can, and we've just been able to see, and I think he's progressively getting better, you still have to make the small things. And so something like this, where we're seeing an opportunity slip because of it, you know, do you want to just say, oh, it's the law of averages and he didn't save the really hard one, but he saves this one instead? No, I mean, you play the game, and he didn't make the chance, and it went right through him. I don't know what happened. I've looked back at it.
It's just
four
a lack
times.
Of concentration, isn't it? It's just like you've been doing so well all game, looking for three shutouts in a row, and then you know you just lose sight of it for just a second, and that's it.
Did he blink or something? Like what the hell went wrong?
There's been so many times I could have said that this season. It's just like it was at him. It was right at him, and he just sort of like dove over it. A horrible, horrible way to lose the points. And draws aren't good enough when the elite teams keep winning. And you know we can't hope for automatic promotion with games like this. That we just have to see them out. And this game I don't know, I look back at it and say, this is, you know, these are points dropped rather than another point gained and the streak continuing. And it's just such a horrible way to concede. And it's just, it's hard to take. But I will say Watford did deserve at least a point. And, you know, they've been playing well lately and they deserved something out of this game.
Yeah, throughout the entire game, a draw makes sense. But when you lose in the 90 plus six, it still hurts and it hurts really bad.
Yeah, and I'm going to quote someone on Discord again. By the way, thank you to all the Discord people. I just want to say as well that all you guys are brilliant. I love reading through all your messages and stuff, and just a general chit chat on the Discord. It's great. But yeah, and he said like 60% possession and Watford doubled our shots and I had more on target. The object of the game is not to possess the ball but to score. Again, another one that's hit the nail on the head. Do you think Russell Martin knows that? Because it just seems to be that. Well, you know, we dominated the game. We had all the ball. But if you're not scoring goals, it doesn't mean anything. It's just, it's...
Yeah, we just purely need to score more goals.
Football's a simple game, isn't it? But yeah. So we remain fourth. So that's played 20, won 11, drawn 5, lost 4, 38 points. 10 points now, Tim, off that automatic promotion spot. 3 points behind Leeds in third. But, I mean, West Brom lost, so 6 points ahead of them in fifth. That's something, I suppose. We've got a little bit of a gap there, but, you know, there's gaps either side of us now, so that's not so good. 60% possession, yeah, with 6 shots against their 11. 3 of ours are on target, so they're 4. Do you have the XG for this? Because this surprised me. So we had 0.8 to their 0.5.
That sounds fair. That sounds about right.
Do you think? I wouldn't have thought that we would have had a better XG than there, especially with the shots that we had.
We've had enough... The thing is we've had enough ball possession into their 18, into their 6, which, you know, you get incremental approaches. You get your 0.05, your 0.1s, your 0.15s, mm-hmm. where you're not really gonna score those chances. And when you look at Shea's shot, was probably what, because it was right center in the middle and nobody, you know, there was nobody who was immediately in front of him. That had to be probably in the 0.35 range. And so when you add it all up, 0.8 sounds about right.
I was a little bit surprised. Russell Martin then, he said, we need to get the second goal and it's game over. The most frustrating thing is the goal we concede. Sometimes you feel like you're hanging on, but it didn't feel like that. I actually felt like we were going to score a second goal. I have to disagree with that. We were throwing so many men forward. Oh, sorry, they were throwing so many men forward because they had nothing to lose and were leaving themselves open. I thought we might get a second goal, but we concede. Honestly, my real frustration is that rubbish goal. I don't agree with it, really. They were throwing men forward and we weren't going forward. We were just sitting back and we were just letting them do it. There was no chance of a counter. At that point of the game, we had no, and this is into stoppage time, I'm going to say, we didn't have enough of the ball at all. So I disagree with that.
Yeah.
Man of the match.
I'll let you go first.
I think it's quite obvious, actually. I mean, oddly enough, Bazunu was in with a chance for me because the safety's playing excellent lately. But you can't concede goals like that. And so, yeah, it's a no from me. But to me, I'm going to give it to Jan Bednarek because of his excellent. I think he was excellent in the first half. He even registered a shot on goal, which was our best in that half. And he had the most interceptions and the most clearances as well with 9.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So, yeah, that stood out for me. So, Jan Bednarek for me.
That was a really well-designed corner kick. Where he rolled off the edge. I've never seen that before. Where you had, like, I've seen people roll off, but not a center back who was on the post roll off before. So whomever that was their set piece coach who called that out, that was fantastic. So I was really happy with that. So obviously he got himself in a position to be successful there. Bizunu had it literally from the zero, you know, the beginning of the game to 90 plus six.
Yeah.
And then of course he lets that in. So, you know, so I'm going to actually go with Che Adams. And the reason being is I think he's had a little bit of a struggle recently. He hasn't been able to get into his form. And finally, he's gotten the opportunity to get into that rhythm. He's building off of and working with Adam Armstrong and his, and he did the ugly work, because I think while, you know, Poistris and Hoyt were okay and be able to hold it in there, I think he caused some havoc down below, and more than we even thought. So to me, I want, and then with the goal itself, getting back into form, I think he's ready to rock. I think he'll be able to step up and give us some more goals for the rest of the holiday period. And I'm going to go with Che Adams.
Excellent. I like it. Hopefully that will hopefully he'll hear you, and that will be confidence. A confidence boost for him, but a confidence knocking one from Bizunu. So we turn our attentions to next week, and a busy one again, another one to contend with. Starting with Coventry City away on Wednesday, the 13th of December, at the Coventry Building Society Arena. And then back to St Mary's next Saturday for Blackburn Rovers. So we'll start with Coventry then, Tim. That's to say Wednesday, the 13th, 7:45 kickoff, and that is on Sky Sports. Take it away, Tim.
So nicknames. I'm going to go with the Shitty Tenants. Do you know about how they got booted from their stadium? Coventry, they're the Sky Blues. Founded in 1883, and really their only most successful, you know, trophy they had is the 86-87 FA Cup. So they were booted from their stadium. I can't believe in the world of English football, you know, every football dominates everything. But they got booted from their stadium by a rugby team. So they had to play at Birmingham City, which, I mean, that's probably what, like 30 miles from Coventry to Birmingham? 30 miles?
Not even that, I don't think. Well, maybe, yeah, maybe.
But, I mean, Coventry is a one-city team. There's a football team, that is. So they had to go and play. And so for 2 years, they were kicked out of their home stadium. They didn't even play in Coventry. They had to play at Birmingham City. So that kind of sucked. And, yeah, so they're shitty tenants, I guess. But last been in the Premier League in 2000. They've gone up – since then, they've gone up and down the tables between second, third, and fourth. But last year they lost in the playoffs. I mean, did you watch the Luton Coventry game last year?
I did, yeah. I did.
That was nerve-wracking the entire time. And, you know, losing on penalties in the playoff final, it's tough. It's really, really tough to think about. But they were so close, lost 6-5. And then going into the season, you know, just like how we lost Ward-Prowse, they lost their best player to Sheffield United of all teams in Gustavo Hammer.
Yeah, they lost Gyökeres as well.
They did. And so I'll highlight that here in a second with all their new players. But currently they're sitting in 15th. But if you want to play the XG game, they're in 9th place. And that's because of two players here. Two players, because they signed two players to take the place of one. So Victor Gyökeres, who is now in Benfica, signed for over £20 million, which is a pretty substantial number, not only for a championship team to receive, but for a Portuguese team to dish out for. But if you take a look at him right now, he's playing fantastically for them. And
I would have liked him, to be honest. We played him in the FA Cup a couple of seasons ago, didn't we, at home? And Gyökeres scored against us then. I'm a fan of his. I thought he would have been a good fit for Saints.
Yeah, and so they signed two players, Ellis Sims, who's young and from Everton, and they signed him because Everton probably had to just take the money, as we can tell they're in some financial issues. But they also signed from Turkey, not actually from the Turkish league, Haji Wright. And
I knew you were going to mention him.
Well, as an American, you know, he hasn't had the most successful tenure as a striker, but he did score in the World Cup for us against the Netherlands. So interesting, but you know, because he absolutely dominated, had over 20 goals in the Turkish league last year, and so for Coventry to be able to sign him, they thought they can do a 1-2 punch, get the output that Victor had from last year. And honestly, Sims has been really, really piss poor, and Wright is putting them in that XG.
That's right. Is it, he hasn't been playing a lot of the games though, has he? I might be wrong.
They've been rotating in and off, and they haven't been starting every game. Neither of them have been starting every game. So
haven't got a settled striker like we have with Adam Armstrong at all, have they?
Correct, but yet they signed two players to take the role of Victor, and they can't even replace what he's done.
No.
So, but Wright is putting them, because the chances he is taking, he's just not finishing them. That's why their XG is so high, is Wright is the main difference player for them. But besides that, key players themselves, this is the scary thing. Did you catch the most recent game from Coventry?
No, I don't believe I did.
Well, that's what's scary is Callum O'Hara is back.
And he scored twice. Yes, I did.
And he scored twice, and now he is ready to tear up the league. His ACL tear put him out for 8 months, and he is ready to go. And I do not like that at all. That is not good when you got a player who is hungry, who wants to come back, and is a quality of him. So between Haji Wright, which I think we can do all right against, and then Callum O'Hare, it'll be tough. So taking and looking back their last five games, they beat Birmingham 2-0 with O'Hare's two goals. They lost to Ipswich, like everybody is, 2-1. They beat Plymouth 1-0. They beat Millwall 3-0. And they drew Stoke City 0-0. So what is the theme in the last five games? They've let in one goal. And that is not... I'm sorry. They let in two goals with the Ipswich game. So two goals in the last five games. That's crazy. So
another team in good form.
They are in very good form, and you don't want to play a team who is not only hot as a team collectively, but then gets one of their, if not their best player back on the season after he's been gone for 8 months. Momentum is in their favor.
Midweek so, at their ground as well. It's tough.
Let's hope they put O'Hare on minutes restriction, because, you know, midweek and still just coming back in, you don't want to rush him. So hey, if you could, you know, Coventry, please put O'Hare on the bench. That'd be great. Less of a difference that he can make, the better. He's the one that scares me. But I think we can stop Haji Wright and Ellis Sims up top. I think that Bednarik and Howard Bellis can do it. And now that I say that, Wright's going to have a hat trick. And, you know, the American anthem is going to be playing in the stadium speakers because, you know, he'll get the game ball and he'll be win. No, I think it'll be because they'll play the ball over the top. But now that they have O'Hare and they're attacking mid, they can break through the lines with their momentum. It's going to be tough. And there's no easy games in the championship. What do you think?
Well, in terms of predictions, you're up first, Tim.
So I think we're going to have a better game than we did against Watford. I think there's going to be something about a midweek game that creates a more even playing field. But I still don't think we're going to be able to take it out. So unfortunately, I think it's going to be a 2-2 matchup, and I think Mathazen's going to have a slip up here and there, and we're going to be able to take it to him. I think Adams will start, and I think he'll get another goal, or at least have some type of assist or play, making a huge difference as well.
Wow. Okay. I wasn't expecting you to say that. Considering they're not conceding a lot of goals right now, and we're not exactly scoring a lot of goals right now. I'm like you. I don't think that we're going to be able to beat them. I think they're, you know, at home, they're in good form. They're for a reason. Callum O'Hare coming back as well. I think this has got draw written all over it, and I think it's a low one. I think it's going to be 1-1. Kevin thinks that Saints are going to take the win, so he's going for a 2-1 Saints win. So that is interesting. But yes, our week is not done. Saturday, we return home, thankfully. Hopefully, we can get Adam Armstrong scoring again. And another clean sheet would be very nice. But we take on Blackburn on Saturday, the 16th of December. That's a 3:00 kickoff. So, yeah, tell us about Blackburn, Tim.
Well, First off, they're those suckers who sold us Adam Armstrong. So we'll take that. Adam Armstrong hasn't made a big enough difference since he's played for us, except for this season, obviously. Mm. And probably one of the most famous for is their quarter panels. Do you like the quarter panel or the half panel shirt that they have? They're always the blue and the white.
The half and half. Yeah, I like it.
The half and half. I've seen some quarter.
Always liked the Blackburn kit. It's always been one that I like.
I think it's
made
unique.
Famous by Shearer and all that.
Oh, I think it's fantastic. I think as a style, I like pinstripes too. So don't get me wrong with Southampton, you know, having the pinstripes. But quarter panels, there's something about it that you either have to be Blackburn or a jockey in, racing a horse to be able to rock quarter panels.
Is it quarters? It's not quarters though. It's halves, isn't it?
Well, the halves, but they have had quarter panels before.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
The four. But I'm thinking of that. I'm thinking of different. Yeah, like you said, the Shearer back in the day with the style and setup. Yeah. But the half and half, it's pretty iconic.
Yeah.
And they're also known as the Rovers, which is interesting because they've been playing at Ewood Park since 1890. And they were founded in 1875. So if you haven't wandered, you haven't wandered around, you haven't, been a rover since 1890, can you really call yourself the Rovers anymore? I mean, it's 2023. That's 140 fucking years. Like, you're just Blackburn now. You can't really be a rover. You're not. And they can't even dub themselves the Mars Rover. Like, they're not – that's just not – that's the only rover.
So your nickname is the Blackburn Non-Rovers or just
– Yes.
The Non-Rovers.
The Blackburn Non-Rovers, yep. As the only one of the non-Big Six and I guess the Money Seven – I'm just going to dub them the Money Seven now in the Premier League to have ever won the Premier League, that is. They're currently sitting in 11th place and – can we just talk about Sammy Smodex for a little bit?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I mean, I want to give props for props his due. So 14 goals in the season. He's been absolutely fantastic. They signed him for £1 million from Peterborough and he looks so good. He looks so good. As a winger too, he's not like your traditional nine. He's not like the Victor Gorkarez, Adam Armstrong could be kind of a winger, but he's definitely more of that, that nine up top. And he does remind me, he has the same profile. Smodex is the same profile as Adam Armstrong. So you've got that small, shifty, really fast player, amazing curve of a shot. So, he's extremely successful and he's finally hitting his zone. He's at 28. You got to really outside of him, who are you looking at? I actually don't really think there's a whole lot more on their team to be able to write home about. Callum Britton, who's their fullback, he's been pretty good on the season so far, but nobody else has been made either two goal contributions, whether it be assists or goals, other than Smodex.
Yeah, and player of the month, as I say, for November for the hold of the league. So yeah,
and it's funny, you look at that, you look at Smodex, and he had this big old smile on his face, and then you flip to the next picture, and it's Daniel Farke looking as happy as ever, with the very German smug smile that he's got, and even it wasn't his smile, it just looked very unhappy.
It's glare, yeah.
Yeah, it's glare. It's like he's looking into your soul as he took that picture. He's like, this is for the team. This is for you. And then while he hasn't really made a big enough difference, though, former Saints player Sam Gallagher on their team as well. Mm. Somebody to mention about. He's only played. He hasn't really started very much. He's only started a couple games and he's played under 300 minutes in the season. Last five. So lost to Leeds 2-0. They lost to Wednesday 3-1, which was very, very, very interesting. They beat Birmingham City 4-2. They beat Stoke 3-0, and they lost to Preston 2-1. So outside of Smodex, he needs to be stopped. We know that. If you're able to stop Smodex, I'll let anybody else shoot. I'll let anybody else play. But he is the key. So one interesting to think about is they between sixth in the table and 21st in the table right now, that's there's 9 points difference between that. That is parity. You know, that is entertainment.
That's what the championship's all about.
Yeah, it's why they call it the best league in the world, because there's a lot of parity and anybody can really, truly, anybody can beat anybody. I mean, Wednesday beat Birmingham to Blackburn 3-1. So
Saints beat Leeds.
Yeah. And we dominated too. It wasn't like just we scraped it out. They play against Bristol City midweek. Bristol's on the up right now because of their new manager. So I think Blackburn is one of those like roller coasters. They're up, they're down, they're up, they're down, and they're right in, you know, they're right in the thick of things, being 11th place in that range of the 9 points between 6th and 21st. So, you know, are we going to win? Are we going to, you know, are we going to dominate? Probably not. And, you know, it's really just the hope that kills you, because say something goes bad or wrong at Coventry and then Blackburn has a hot game and Smodics looks good. It could be the hope that kills you. But without saying that, I think we're going to do pretty well.
I do too. And I'm first on the predictions, and I think we're going to. I think it's important that we don't let this Watford result, you know, get us. We can't dwell on it. We don't have time to dwell. Let's pick ourselves up against Coventry, and then at home, you know, Adam Armstrong still banging them in for fun at home. And I think we'll be fine. I think we're going to win 2-1. Kevin, however, thinks it's going to be a draw, and he's going for a Desmond. So he's going, 2-2.
I think that we will stop Smodics. I think we will. And I think something's good. I just have a good feeling. I'll take a 1-0 win.
Ooh, another clean sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Third in a row at home.
Yep. After giving up 2 goals at Coventry, you know, scrape that off. Know that they're a pretty good team, obviously, if they finish in the playoff final. But I think Blackburn's going to be on the down.
Oh, I hope you are right. Okay. And going on to our predictions from Watford, 1-1 was a popular score, actually. And Tim, you got one. You got it right. It's your first one this season, did you know?
Yes, it does. And if you look at me in the points table, I think out of all the players or all the people who are in the predictions table who have predicted all the games this season, I am the worst.
Yeah.
It is atrociously bad. So as I make these predictions, you just have to expect that it's going to be the opposite of whatever it is.
I think that's what people are doing. They're waiting to hear you, and then they're just going to go in the complete opposite. But, I mean, you're doing quite well in fantasy football, so if something has to balance out, you know, you can't have it all. You have to have the pleasure and pain. But, yeah, well, as I say, you got one. Kev got one as well, actually. He got this 1-1. It was needed as much as a Shea Adams goal, I suppose. But also getting it right, unfortunately for you, Kurt Supple, Coastal Elite, Frederick Lazaro and Burke won. And Kurt Supple has now a 2-point lead over Coastal Elite, who's moved up to second. So good stuff, everyone involved. Super Six. I'm doing terrible at Super Six, by the way. I won't tell you where I am in the league. But round 21 was won by Adam Darlington on 16 points. Round 22 was Laura Maratsing on 14 points. Round 23 is still ongoing with Sunday afternoon's games. And overall, Andrew Knight has a massive lead on 208. So that just leaves fantasy football.
All right. Sitting in the Podcasters League, Harry Tizard still looking good. Armstrong FC, 912 points so far. A lot of us still have a lot of players to go since we are recording here on Sunday morning, the 10th of December. Oliver Boast in second place and Tanswell coming up in third. Pretty close right now. And Jamie Allen in fourth just jumped John Bailey. So I'm sitting in sixth. Kev sitting in eighth, and Ray
struggling again.
You're pulling up the sacco for those who have watched the lead. But
hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. So going into the In That Number Podcast League, Tommy Rafferty with the amazing We Hate Pompey name. Great job. Love it. Big fan. Surpassed Dan Buck, who is now in second place. Brad's Lads is in third. And Chris Bonner, while he hasn't a lot of players right now, Livra La Via Loca, sitting on eight, but lots of opportunity here for the majority of his team to come back up. So really close at the top. It's 20 points between fourth and first and fourth. And then filing here to fifth is Cancelo Culture, Jamie Thorpe.
Excellent. And Gaffer?
So no points, no changes in the points table. This was a fairly regular week for everybody so far. I am still doing very well, sitting in first place right now, which is great to hear and great to see. So sitting in first place, 1396, Sweet Baby Shay, Tim Brucker in second, Moscow Mish in third, and Ray looking pretty good in fourth, but you're 100 points behind third place in Moscow Mish.
Oh, my God. I've slipped big time.
Oh, dear.
Yes, okay. That's another wrap this week. We'll be back next week. We'll be back with our reviews of Coventry and Blackburn. And we have to preview quite a lot, actually. We've got preview three games to preview, Tim, because obviously the festive period is well underway then. We have QPR, Swansea and Plymouth all before the new year is out. So we'll do all that next week on Sunday the 17th. So until then, up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up my Southampton.
Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.